Welcome. In this video, we will see how to create an application that incorporates a code-first local database. Local databases are new to Windows Phone Mango and allow your application to manage large amounts of data in a standardized and familiar way. Before we begin, let us have a look at the application that we will be working with. We will begin with a simple application for managing shopping lists that uses serialization to persist all of its data. Here is our starter solution, containing the starter folder of the package containing this video. The bulk of the application is containing the shopping project. Let's open it up. The important bits here are the data and views folder, and the app.xaml.cs file as well. The data folder contains lists, which have an ID and a name, and whether or not they are complete, meaning we finished shopping for all the items on them. And also, each list is linked to several products, with products having an ID, an associated list ID, a quantity that we have to buy, a comment, and whether or not we've checked it, meaning that it is purchased. Next, we have several views. Let's begin with the list view, which is the main view for our application. This screen simply displays all of the lists we've created while using the application. We have a button here in the app bar for creating additional lists using the Edit Lists screen. This is also used for editing lists. The contents of a list can be viewed in the Products View page, and individual products can be added or edited using the Edit Product page. You can see the fields here. Let's have a look inside the code of one of the pages. You can see here that when we click to save a new item on a list, we use the data helper to either edit or add the product. All actions on our data are done by invoking the data helper. So let's have a look at that class. You can see that the data helper contains a list of lists as well as a list of products, and several methods such as addList, addProduct, checkProduct, editList, and so on for managing our lists and our products. Finally, let's have a look over at app.xaml.cs. We have file names here for storing our list information and our product information. And over on application launching, we get information from isolated storage. This is pretty standard serialization. And when we close the application, we save everything to isolated storage. Let's see the application in action. Go ahead and run this. So here is our application. We don't have any lists at the moment, so let's add one. We'll call it List of Shopping. There it is, another list. Then we can go into a list and add some items we need to shop for, say a hammer. We need one hammer. A nice and heavy one. And maybe something else, like, I don't know, a cat. We could use a cat, a couple of cats. And also a flaming cheese cake, flaming cheesecake. So let's add that. So here is our list. We can tick off the items we bought. You can see the amount of items in the list. And if we buy all of the items, then the list is striked out. Local databases in Windows Phone Mango applications are powered by SQL Compact Edition. Windows Phone's implementation does not allow direct SQL or data definition language operations, and Link to SQL is used to perform all operations on the database. Databases are accessible only to the application that owns them and to its background agents, and it is impossible for multiple applications to directly share the same database. Even after a database is deployed, you can update its version and schema using the Database Schema Updater class, allowing the application to easily enhance its database along with its functionality. There are several ways to construct and deploy local databases in a Windows Phone application. One approach is the code-first approach, where no initial database is shipped with the application. The database is defined by the application's code alone. Upon first use, an empty database is created, and the application then stores it in isolated storage for future use. Another approach is to use a database file supplied as one of the application's resources. The code for managing the database would still be included as part of the application, but would be auto-generated using a tool such as SQL Metal. In this video, we will demonstrate the first approach by showing how to take the application we saw earlier and make it use a local database. We will begin with the application we saw, which uses serialized data. We will then change the relevant portions of the application so that it uses a local database instead. So first off, let's go ahead and close all of these. Stop the application. We'll upgrade our project to Windows Phone Mango by right-clicking it and selecting Upgrade to Windows Phone 7.1. We then get informed that this is a one-way process. Let's go ahead and do it. And we're upgraded, ready to take advantage of new Mango features. Now let's go ahead and add a reference to system data link and add a new data class to the data folder. We'll call it shopping context. Since we are using Link to SQL, we'll be needing a data context, so let's go ahead and replace this with this. Add a using directive. There. Now we define a data context with a table containing lists and another one containing products and an empty constructor, using a connection string and calling the base constructor. Next, let's go over to app.xaml.cs, remove these constants with our file names and replace them with this, the connection string for our database and our database file name. We'll call it maindb sdf. Now let's add an additional property, a shopping context. We'll call it shopping context. And there we are. Now we can use a data context in our application. Next, we'll add an additional method. Let's call it initialize data context. And what we'll do is create a new instance and supply a connection string composed of the prefix and our database file name. Let's add some additional code so that if our database does not exist, we'll go ahead and create it. And also, we'll enable object tracking. Let us move over to application launching. We can replace this with the method we just created, initialize data context. We no longer need this, or this, or this. Now, when the application is activated, we should check whether or not the application instance is preserved. If it's not, we still need to initialize our data context. If you are unfamiliar with fast application switching, you are encouraged to see our video dealing with that issue. Next, let's move on to application deactivated and remove this. And finally, over here, we can simply call shopping context dispose. So we don't need this as well. There. Next up, we'll update the data helper. So let's go over here, remove these two fields, and replace them with a shopping context. So let's create a field, shopping context, and it's a shopping context. Now in our constructor, we'll simply initialize this with the application's shopping context, like so, and make quite a few more small changes. Let's go over to the getList method here, and we'll change lists list to shopping context lists. Let's back up a bit over to getLists and change the entire body to return shopping context lists to list, since the data context contains all of our lists. Now let's move over to add list, change this. We'll go ahead and change this line to shopping context lists. Insert on submit the new list we're creating here. And of course we have to submit our changes there. And in end list, or rather edit list, just before we return true after editing, we'll say shopping context submit changes. Now the changes for products are pretty similar, so we'll just go ahead and paste quite a few bits of code here. The changes are minor overall. It's worth mentioning, though, in the addProduct method, we have a new list property that we'll be adding to products. This will represent the link between products and lists. We'll see this when we edit the lists and products classes. Let us start with lists, so we'll open this up, add a couple of using directives, and first thing, we'll go to the list class and add the table attribute, signifying that this represents a table. Now in the constructor, add this code. We don't have this field yet, but we'll use it to store associated products, and we simply set up a couple of handlers that are called when we add additional products to the list or remove them. We'll be adding all of these later. Now, all of this class's properties will actually represent columns in the database, so let's go ahead and add the appropriate attributes. We'll add a column attribute for the ID property, and this will serve as the primary key, so we'll say that this is indeed the primary key for list record. Also, this is a column. And this is also a column. And this. Now the products property is a bit trickier, because what we need to do here is define an association between lists and products. So we'll go ahead and replace this with this. What we have here is a private field, which is an entity set of products. We expose it using this property, products, and define it as an association. The association will use the list ID property on products and link it to the list's own ID property. All that's left to do is add a couple of methods here. These are the handlers we saw earlier up here. And what they do is that when we add products to our list, they make sure to set the list property of the product to this list. We'll no longer be needing this class, so let's delete it and move on to fixing the products. We'll start with a couple of using directives. As before, we'll add the table attribute. Next, we'll go to the constructor and say that the list field, we'll be adding this later, this will be an entity reference to list. Now let's handle the properties here, turn them into columns. The ID will be the primary key, as before. And let's go ahead and add the column attribute to a few more properties. There. Now we still need to define the association with lists on the product side. So let's go ahead and add this. Quite a bit of code here. Now this may seem complicated, but this is essentially plumbing for setting the association on the list side when we set it on the product side. You can see the association defined here. Finally, we can get rid of this. And we're actually done. We defined a data context, initialized our database in the apps.xaml.cs file, changed our data helper and the associated data classes to implement our database classes, and now we're ready. So let's run the application. Now, functionality-wise, the application should behave exactly as before. Let's add a shopping list for cakes. However, in the background now, instead of serialized data in isolated storage, we have a local database. You can see we can add a few cakes here. Let's say a tart. And maybe a chocolate cake. A couple of these. And everything works as before. In this video, we introduced the use of local databases in Windows Phone Mango applications. We saw how easy it is to create a database code first and allow your application to leverage this new feature. Thank you.